Hello, I'm Alice Arnold. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. And this week, well, we went to see Dreamgirls, but before we went, we were really lucky. We got to have a chat with the star of Dreamgirls. She's playing Effie White, and she's called Marisha Wallace, and she's absolutely lovely. And she came into the studio for a chat. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. In the studio today, and I'm going to say this straight away, this is the hottest day, in June day, in England since 1976.
Wow.
But I have Marisha Wallace, who's come from New York. So you're used to hot, and North Carolina and all that. So you know about hot weather.
Oh, yeah. We know how to handle it.
Yeah, you know how to handle it. We don't, of course. But before we start anything, because I do this for all my guests, is you get a little cupcake. It's a very mini cupcake.
Okay.
And there are four in here, and you get to choose which one. And my producer and I... we get the other one. So do you have Rolos in America?
Yes.
The chocolate Rolos.
Yes, in the gold pack, okay. Yes.
These are Gemma's cupcakes. They're quite special Gemma's cupcakes. Two of those are Rolo cupcakes.
Okay.
And two of them are red velvet crispy something. So you either get a Rolo one or a red velvet.
Well,
they survived the heat. They're very fresh. I mean, I did only just pick them up. You can choose. And
like,
they're tiny.
A tiny obsession with red velvet. So
oh, wow. I kind of
need to go there.
Okay. Well,
just to test, to be that, like, it's okay.
That
you know what I mean?
Crispy cupcake is yours. Has your name on it.
Thank you.
My producer's now taken Sarah. I'd taken the Rolo one before goodness. I could blink.
Oh, they did preserve well.
So yeah,
I'm going to save it for the end.
Yeah,
okay.
You can save it for the end. It's like it's a bite and a half because it's a mini cupcake.
Yeah.
But I hope you enjoyed that. When you
amazing.
Anyway, I am talking to you, Marisha, because you are in Dreamgirls in the West End, you've been on Broadway in Something Rotten and Aladdin, and you were on the tour in America of Book of Mormon.
Yes.
My absolute favourite musical. I adore that one.
Yes.
So the big question is, what are you doing in the West End? How did that happen? How did you get Broadway to London's West End?
I was actually still in Something Rotten on Broadway. And we had just actually got our closing notice probably like 2 months before. And I had just come from doing Dreamgirls at a regional theater in Dallas called Dallas Theater Center, which just won a Tony Award for Best Regional Theater, like this past Tony's.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm a good luck charm. Yeah, that's good. So I just worked with them for 3 months, and then I had come back to Something Rotten, and I had been there for a couple months, and the show was going to close in probably like 2 or 3 weeks, and I was just kind of like seeing what was next. I was actually doing a concert, a solo concert, a reading, and doing my Broadway show 8 times a week. So this was like on a Tuesday that they called, and they were like, London called. Are you interested in coming to do Dreamgirls? I was like, oh, London called. Oh, okay. And they're like, are you interested to come do it, you know, after Something Rotten closes? And I was like, sure, okay. And then a couple of days later, and they were like, are you interested to come for a little while? And will you come next week? And I was like, okay.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was quick. So I packed my stuff and I was there the next week. I learned the show in 5 days. And then
in
I was,
5 days?
Yes. And then I was on. Yeah,
wow.
I was on. There was like, remember when there was illness going around the whole West End and it kind of hit Dreamgirls really bad? A lot of shows had to cancel shows. Like, it was crazy. And they were like, we need someone now to cover. And then Amber got pneumonia. So then they needed someone to come take over the role. And I took it over I learned it in 5 days, took it over.
Oh, wow.
Got some hair and some dresses, and there you go. Hit the stage. That's how you do it. That's how we do it on Broadway.
And moved to London. We've met before because we chatted when you performed at Magic at the Musicals at the Albert Hall. And I spoke to you, and you'd done your sound check.
Yes.
I think I spoke to everyone after they'd done their sound check.
Yes.
Everyone was very excited about their sound check because they were performing with the fantastic orchestra in the Albert Hall. But you hadn't done it with an audience.
No.
So, and I... then sat in the audience and watched the show. So I know how you went down. How did it feel? I mean, the roof came off the Albert Hall when you were singing. But how did you feel about after that performance?
It was like everything that I had worked for in my whole life came to that moment, like to that point. Because it was like, I've been doing theater and stuff for like 10 years. I did theme parks and regional theater and cruise ships and national tours and blah, 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 all kinds of work. And then finally at this moment, it was just like, bam, this is right where I'm supposed to be. And everything that I've done has led me to this moment. So I was really overwhelmed at the end of it, I'm telling you. And everyone stood and there's like 4,000 people there and everyone's standing. And I'm like on this huge stage with this massive orchestra behind me singing a song that I've been singing like literally my whole life. I used to sing, and I'm telling you, for talent shows when I was a kid, like I was singing it when I was 10 years old, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, and then to sing that song again, like on this big stage. And that that song has so much history anyway with who sang it before me and to do it now. It was just like a really amazing moment and just reminded me that I had like worked so hard to get there and that I can make my dreams come true. And I didn't come from like a, you know, amazing family that had money or anything. Like I kind of really worked grassroots to get to where I was, and so it was just like a good moment.
Standing everyone to their feet. So, well, let's talk about where you did come from then. Tell me. Yeah. So you were brought up in North Carolina.
Yeah,
originally.
I was brought up in a rural town. It's literally like a farm town. Like there's cows and like corn, and the nearest house is like a mile away, kind of situation. It's called Goldsboro, North Carolina. It's kind of near Raleigh, where the capital is, but like an hour and a half out east. And my whole family sang. So that was kind of like, I come from a very musical family. Like my mom sings, my grandma sings, my dad plays guitar and sings. My brother can play like six instruments. So everybody sang. So to be a singer was like, oh, you can sing, you know, but never did anyone take it to the next level. So a lot of people tried, like my dad tried to put out an album. Like there's been people in my family who've tried to get to the next level. I had one cousin who was on television and she was kind of the person I looked up to. I was like, oh, okay, she kind of made it. Maybe I could, you know, get there. And so I just, you know, sang. And then I had this amazing teacher in high school who was like, I think you might be a little bit better than what you think you are. I think you can like take this somewhere else. So she took me to my college auditions, and I went and auditioned at East Carolina University, and I didn't get in. I actually, because it was for opera.
The best people never get in first time.
Yeah, it was for opera, though. So I went, and I was a gospel singer. Like,
did
I sang gospel.
Did you want to sing opera?
No. No, not at all. But I didn't know that there was any other option, because I wanted to go for, like, vocal performance.
Right.
So I learned an aria, and I sang it. And they were like, oh, it's good, but we feel like there's something that might be wrong with your voice. And I was like, what? I'm like, I'm amazing. What are you talking about? No one's ever told me there was something wrong with my voice. And then I found out, because I had been singing gospel music, you know, my whole life, that I had a polyp on my vocal cords. And I was 18.
Oh, you did?
I was 18 years old, just from singing hard gospel music my whole life. And that was just like, what a shock. And then my parents were just like, okay, well, whatever she has to do to get it fixed. And then I went to a speech pathologist, and then I got surgery when I was 18. And then I went back to the school, and someone was like, well, if you can't get into the opera program because you need to heal, like you need to wait, you could do musical theater. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do with that? But okay, cool. So I could wait a year. So I waited a year, and then I auditioned. So I got healed and everything.
And did it take a year?
It took about a year to heal, to like be good. Fully. And then I had to retrain with a new voice teacher. And so I got a voice teacher at the school who was amazing. She literally taught me how to speak again. So I was told I was never going to sing again when I was 18. And then I got I auditioned after the year. I, you know, rested and took voice lessons and things. And then I got into the musical theater program. And then from there, it was just like, boom, 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 boom.
And I suppose that training taught you how to sing without the fear of getting the polyps again.
Yeah. And then I knew so much about my voice at a young age. Like, I knew all about my vocal health and, like, how to protect my voice. And the teacher that I had was like, look, you're not going to be an opera singer. You're going to do R&B, gospel, jazz. Like, you, mm-hmm. that's what you're going to do. So I'm going to teach you how to do that healthfully. So that's what she taught me. And then now my voice is, like, stronger than it ever was before I got the surgery
because
and
just,
stuff.
Just even singing that one song, I'm telling you, is a heck of a vocal
yes.
exercise.
Totally.
I mean, it's such a huge number. You could strain your voice any time just doing that one song.
And people have, yeah, for sure. But I think because I went through that so early in life, I know so much about my voice. Like, I know my voice so well. And I know when it's, like, time to be quiet and when it's time to, like, go for it. And then when, because it's vocal, doing the role like Effie White is just literally, you're a vocal athlete. Like, it's like taking care of your voice like an athlete would take care of their body because it's like a muscle. So, like, what you eat, what you drink, how much you talk, where you go, how much sleep you got the night before, it all factors into it. So I always say be kind to live performers because there's so many things that we have to take care of that affect our voice. Even, like, the temperature of the theater. Is it hot outside? Is it cold? Is it warm? Like, is it, like, the humidity? It all plays into, you know, what we do.
So you've managed to keep healthy in London.
Yeah,
you.
I have. I was the only one healthy when everyone was sick. So that was good. And
tell me how London's West End is different from Broadway.
Broadway, it's just different in the fact, I do feel like a stage is a stage, like, because I've worked on so many different stages because I've done national tours and things too. But, like, a stage is a stage. I do feel like the people here are hungry for the theater because they don't get shows like Dreamgirls here. And I feel like we have so many singers that sound like the singers in Dreamgirls in America. So it's not as special. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So here it's just like, they're like, what? I've never heard a voice like this, or I've never heard people sing like this. So they're just so excited about the show, which is really cool. So I'm like, yeah, well, it is special. It's because we take it for granted because we hear people sing like that. Like, my mom can sing like that, or my grandma can sing like that. You know what I mean?
Because you talked about having a church background when you said that everybody just sort of
everybody
sang.
Everybody sings
gospel
like
singers
that.
Yeah,
it's crazy because, like, your whole family can sing like that. So it's not even something special to you. But then to come here and to sing like I do, and everyone's like, what is that? You know, so it's really cool.
Yeah, so you can stand out here and be different.
Yeah, you can be different.
Rather than be just with everybody else in America.
And Broadway, I love both. It's just, you know, it's just a different, it's just, I don't know. There's a lot of community on Broadway, which I like, because I guess it's been around so long. But I do feel like the West End is having a renaissance too, because most of the shows are from from Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then I also feel like there's a lot of diversity on the West End that is not on Broadway right now, which is great for us as being, you know, African-American performers.
I've talked to quite a few people about this, actually, and they're just saying there's so many more shows now with opportunities.
Yeah,
for
the
black
opportunity
and ethnic minority
is here.
Performers. Or, as I always say, most parts could be played by anybody. It just takes a little bit of imagination to cast them like that. But there are just more work available, I think.
Yeah, and I also feel like the West End is more willing to take a risk, which is nice. They're taking risk on, like, casting people different ways and things like that. And I hope that Broadway will get more diverse and it not just be like, oh, one season is diverse, all the seasons are diverse. So I think it's kind of going that way, but there's definitely more opportunities here on the West End at the moment, which is very interesting.
Well, that obviously begs the question.
Yeah.
Are you going straight back to Broadway when you finish here, or would you look for more opportunities?
I don't know yet. All those things are kind of being worked out at the moment, if I will, you know, stay or go or whatever, but I'm here till November as of now. So maybe by the time this podcast comes out, I'll know. But, you know.
Yeah. A few general musical theatre questions, because it is the Musical and Theatre Podcast. If you could sing any song from a musical, any musical,
okay,
you're back at the Albert Hall, imagine.
Okay.
What song are you going to choose?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, I've already sung it, and I'm telling you, it is like the ultimate song.
It probably is, actually.
It is.
Yeah, I know. But, and then, you know, second choice. You've done that
second
one.
Second choice. Ugh, it's hard. Well, I do love Funny Girl, and I kind of hope that they would cast a black girl as Fanny Price. Anyone can hear it. Because I was like, wouldn't that be funny if she was black? Because then she's funny. It just sets out. So,
why not, though?
I know. Why not? I love Don't Rain on My Parade. I feel like I could, like, kill that in the hall with the whole thing and the symphony orchestra and everything. I'm actually singing I Know Where I've Been from Hairspray with the symphony, and it sounds so good. It's so interesting to hear a symphony play gospel music. Or play any kind of, like, you know, music with funk, because it just has, like, a whole another, like, thing to it. It sounds really, really cool. So I think that would be a fun song,
okay,
too.
And if you could be a character from a musical, not play it, actually be that person.
Be the person.
Be the person. Who would it be?
Oh, wow. Who would I be? I think I would want someone with, like, magical powers.
You want to be someone with magical powers. Okay. Who in musicals got...
Elphaba has magical powers.
Elphaba, okay.
And she belts. And she can, like, belt as she, like, flies. So, I mean, that's fierce.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll be...
And she's got magical powers.
Yeah, good answer. We want to be somebody with magical powers.
Right?
You're happy in London. You're not going back till November. Are you getting homesick at all? Are you all right?
I was a little homesick, but then I just went home. So I was home like a week or two ago. I just miss my husband. That's the only thing. Because he's working.
Yeah. Is he
so
working
he's a musician.
On...
Yeah, okay. So he's like touring and out. But he'll be back in a couple of
always difficult when you've got two artists in a relationship.
But we're used to it. I mean, we've been doing it for so long, like long distance. But I kind of miss my friends and I miss my apartment. But I mean, I've been enjoying it. I love being so close to Europe, which is great. Mm. So I can go like visit all the countries that I want to get to where I'm like, oh, I have to make like this huge trip when I'm coming from America. But here it's like, I can just...
You can go on the train to Paris. You can do that in a day. You'd be back in time for the show in the evening.
Yeah.
The Paris thing. That's a
nice. I've already gone to Paris twice because I was like, so close.
Well, I'm glad you're taking advantage of it.
I am.
And, I hope you don't go back in November. I hope you stay and
do
something else.
Yeah.
And then bring your husband over and he can be the musician in whatever
he actually
thing
loves
is.
It here.
And then you could do it together and that would be nice.
That'd be good. Because he's Australian, so he likes, this is his culture. So when I came here, he's like, oh, pub culture. I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. I was like, oh, now I see. Because I've been to Australia, but like, this is like proper pub culture. I love it.
Anyway, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you so
much.
And
good luck with the rest of the run and your concerts and everything else that you're doing.
Yes, and don't forget to tell your fans to follow me.
Marisha Wallace. Marisha Wallace on Twitter.
Easy, at Marisha Wallace. Okay. Twitter, Instagram. All the good stuff.
All the social media stuff. Social media queen. Yes. Real, ask them to do that.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Thanks for coming in. That was the Musicals and Theatre podcast, and if you enjoyed that, then why not subscribe? It's absolutely free to our channel on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear me every weekend morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.